Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf. We left off from daf Tzadi. Well, I don't know where we left off, but we're picking up from daf Tzadi Tesam Beis at the Mishnah toward the bottom of the page. Says the Mishnah on daf Tzadi Tesam Beis. Mishay Sederach Harab Moveres Letoch Sadehu. If a person has a path that's used by the public that passes right through his field, not the Benasim LeMinatzad, and he removes that path, he takes it away from them, and gives them instead a different path off to the side of his field that doesn't walk right through the middle of his field. Masha Nasa Nasan, so the new path that he gave them, that he gave the people on the side, that does in fact belong to the public now. It is considered to be theirs. The Shalal Lo Higio, but he's ineffective in reclaiming his own path, meaning in reclaiming the path that used to go right through the field. He is ineffective. He does not gain ownership back of that path. The rabbim still have the right to walk through the path that they've been going through the whole time. So basically, he tries to get back his area, middle of his field, by substituting a different area on the side, and it's completely ineffective. He ends up losing. He ends up having to give the rabbim two paths. Derech hayachid dalet amos. How large is a path? So a path that's used by yechidim is 4 amos. Derech harabim 16 amos. A path that's used by the rabbim is supposed to be 16 amos. Derech hamelech ein lo shir. A path that's used by a king, there's no shir to it. It could be as big as the king wants. Derech hakever ein lo shir. If there's a derech that's made in place for a kever, that's a path that they're going to bury somebody, that the levaya is passing through to bury somebody, also it's ein lo shir. It's as much as necessary. Now, the Rashbam points out that although we say that both Derech HaMelech and Derech HaKever are in Lashir, we don't say it together. Meaning, we don't say Derech HaMelech and Derech HaKever in Lashir. And the reason we don't say it together, we say it as two separate statements. Number one, Derech HaMelech in Lashir. And number two, Derech HaKever in Lashir, is because although they sound very similar, they're not exactly the same thing. When it comes to Derech HaMelech, Rashbam points out in Dibur HaMaskel in Lashir, well, first he explains Derech HaKever, Takanas Chachamim Hi Mishum Yakra D'Shichvi, that it's special Takanas Chachamim for the honor of the deceased, K'damarin B'Gemara, V'amarin B'Ksubis, and Gemara says in Ksubis Yid Zayin, D'Shichim L'Avosa Har B'Bnei Adam She'achziku M'lo Kala Derech Me'avulu Atzichra, that it's necessary to have as many people as possible going to be M'lav of the Mace, and since the Gemara mentions that there's this great idea of having as many people as possible going to be M'lav of the Mace, so you need as wide a Derech as possible, and there is no Shir, there is no maximum size to the Derech. It's interesting, if you actually look up that Gemara in Ksubis, the Gemara talks about different people, different types of people, how many people are supposed to be at their levaya. When do you have an achrayus to go to their levaya? So the Gemara says that if the person is a Talmud Chacham, person is Karav Vitani, so then he needs Shishim Ribo. Until there are 600,000 people at the levaya, he still needs to go. So it's a massive amount of people. On a regular Talmud Chacham, though, the Gemara does not say in Loshir. The Gemara says, but man de masni, someone who not only learnt, but taught others Torah as well, so for that, it's ein lo shir. For that, there's no shir for how many people are expected to come to the levaya. But the assumption is that there are massive amounts of people that are attending levaya. So if there are these huge crowds of people, you need to have a very wide derech. The reason the Gemara says it's 600,000 people for a Talmud Chacham is the Gemara says, Keshem shenesinasa b'shishim ribo, kach netilasa b'shishim ribo. If the Torah was given with 600,000, when it's taken away from us, it should be with the same covered with 600,000 people as well. And the Talmud Chacham, we know, is often compared in Chazal to a walking Sefer Torah. That's why there's a halacha that the human being in general, the Jews, compared to a Sefer Torah in some sense, but a Talmud Chacham in particular, that's why the Gemara says that the Gemara relates, although it doesn't equate, it's a question of Rishonim, which direction it goes, but it relates standing for a Sefer Torah to standing for a Talmud Chacham. If you stand for those who learn it, then for sure you should stand for the Torah itself. The Gemara seems to have an opposite statement elsewhere, but again, the point is that they are related to each other, that the Talmud Chacham is considered like a Sefer Torah. So you need a massive amount of people at his Levaya, but really at any Levaya you need a lot of people, and therefore the Derech HaMeis is in Lashir. But says the Rashbam, this is not the same as the Derech HaMelech. V'nir be'inai, d'ha in Lashir d'meis lo chamir k'derech HaMelech, lifrotz binyanin lahafsid mamun acherim. It's not quite as strict as the Derech HaMelech, where we knock down buildings that are in the king's path, and the king can take away other people's money and other people's property by just because he wants to waltz through town. All it means over here is that if there's an open field anyway, and there just happens to be some grain in the field, so the people are allowed to walk through that field and step all over the grain. But you're not allowed to knock down buildings and houses and things like that for a derech hames. That's only for a derech hamelech. So that's the fundamental difference between the two. And although the Rashbam doesn't spell it out, that's probably why we say them in two separate sentences: derech hamelech in lashir and derech hakever in lashir. Inami says Rashbam b'mocher derech hakever lechavero lalechas derech sadehu mayri. Or we could be talking about a case where you sold somebody a path to a kever to go through your field. The mistama in loshir. So how large do we assume that path is? You never included, you didn't have a good lawyer, you never included in the contract the exact size of the path that you're selling to him. You just said, yeah, you can have a path through my field to get to your kever, and you took money for it, you sold it to the guy. So mistama it's in loshir. El kol malav emes yavrusham. Whoever's going to be Malav of the Mace is allowed to pass by there, the Iker. And the Rashbam says that's what he thinks is the correct Pshat, meaning completely different than Derech HaMelech. Derech HaMelech is not talking about a purchase, it's just talking about the Melech wants to come. Derech HaKever is that the guy actually purchases the right to go through your field, but it's not an automatic right. So that's the second day in the Rashbam. It's not considered an automatic. He has to buy the right. Just because they're having a Levaya does not give them the right to walk through, to trespass on other people's property. Says the Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah, Hama'amud, Dayani Tzipori Amru, Beis Haba Akavin. A Maimid is supposed to be, which the Gemara is going to explain what that is, the Dayanit Tzipori said it's supposed to be four kavin. Rashbam quantifies exactly how much of an area is four kavin. So he says at the very end of that Rashbam, after doing all the calculations, Uberibua mem amos v'dalet tfachim v'gimel etzbaos. It's a square of mem amos dalet tfachim and gimel etzbaos on each side. Mat yoser, and a little bit more. So that's basically the amount of space needed for the maimed, which we'll get to exactly what that is later on today. So says the Gemara, Amai shalolo higio. What did we say? The first halach on the Mishnah is that if rabbim were walking through your field and you substitute and give them a field off to the, you give them a path off to the side rather than the path that walks right through the middle of your field, so not only do they now have the rights to go in that path off to the side, they still retain the rights to go through the path right in the middle of your field. So frek the Gemara, amai shalolo higio linkot pazra v'lesiv. Meaning the Gemara assumes at the outset that really when you gave them the path to the side, that was an effective nesina, and that's really their path. And by right, you should be able to reclaim the path that walked through the middle of your field. Problem is, the rabbim aren't going to be aware of that, and they're certainly not going to listen to it, and they're going to continue to walk. And what are you going to do? What can you do about it already? You can't stop the rabbim from going through. So frek the Gemara, why not? Why can't you reclaim the path that walked right through the middle of your field? We're assuming that should have been the Ikar Adin, that they get the path off to the side, that your Nesina was effective, and you get to reclaim that path. What's the problem? Linkor Pazer V'lesev. Take a gun and stand by the path and threaten anyone who walks through it. Meaning, you can't protect your own property? What's wrong? Shamina lo avrin shtinu nafshe afil makom seda. Oh, maybe we see from here that a person can't take the law into his own hands to protect his path, even when he stands to lose otherwise. And the Rashbam understands that the kasha is bitmiya v'anan kaim lan babakama v'amniyach dukali al-masavri avidin ishtil nashay makam dika b'seida. Now we assume otherwise. We assume that the halacha is that everyone holds you can take the law into your own hands when there's going to be pseida, when there's going to be a loss for you. So why in our Mishnah can you not take the law into your own hands? Tosos seems to understand the kasha a little bit differently. Shema minad lovin in shtinu nafshe, says Tosos, lefiza bechinam nakar masnisin shayso veres derech harabim toksadehu v'nasal lahem, that it seems that if it's true that lovin in shtinu nafshe, you don't have to say that the rabbim had a path in your field and you gave them a path off to the side. Even if they just took a path, forget about they had and you gave and they, They just took a path. If lo v'dinu l'avshei, we could have said the same halacha. If the rabbin just took a path right in the middle of the field, then you can't do anything about it. So that's how Tosfos understands the kasha. It's not a kasha, it's a stira between our Mishnah and the way we paskin Baba Kama. No, it's just stam a kasha. Why make such a complicated case in our Mishnah if it's all based on the idea of lo v'dinu l'avshei, dinu l'avshei? Now, it happens to be, the Rashbam writes, that in Dibra Maschil, Lindkot Pazra, he says to go take a stick or something, some type of weapon. So he points out, Vamaksha Savar, Dikivan Dukhtani Masha Nasa Nasan, Vedin Asa, Masha Asa, Vedakum Kanuloi. We're assuming in the Hava Amina that since we say the Rabbim have acquired the path that you've provided them on the side of the field, that you had a halachic legal right to do that, to give them a path off to the side of the field, and reclaim the path right in the middle of your field. And the only reason the Mishnah says you don't get it is because you don't get the path in the middle of your field is because the Bnei Rishus Rabim always pass through here. And you can't do anything to stop them. The law of it in Nishtin and Nafshay, because law of it in Nishtin and Nafshay, people can't take the law into their own hands. So now this idea that you can't do anything to stop them, and Rashbam also said in Dibur Maskel, Amai Shalolo Higiyo, at the end of that Dibur Maskel, V'hu Eino Yochol Lahamid Rabim L'din. What are you going to do? You can't take the Rabim to a Din Torah. Who are you going to sue? They're going to keep on going, and you're helpless. There's nothing you could do. The only option is to take the law into your own hands. So the Gemara seems to be assuming from the fact that you can't do that, that you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands even when you're going to lose. Now, why don't you just sue them? There's no one to sue. It's the Rabbim. Who are you going to take to within Torah? So the Nesivus in Simon Dalid says, what kind of kasha is this? That the Baal Asada is going to lose because he has no way to be Tovea, the Rabbim, for a Din Torah? Why is this any different than the halacha that we paskin in Shulchan Aruch HaShemishvat Simon Kuf Vav? We paskin that a lova shenimtza b'medinas hayam govim yimenu shalom b'fanav. If let's say the guy who owes money is far away, he's nowhere near the town where he owes the money, so we're allowed to collect from his assets even if he's not here. So over here as well. Granted, there's no face to the rabbin that you can say, that's the guy who I'm going to sue. You should be able to be tover the rabbin ledin, even shalo b'fneihem, even not in front of their face. Beis Din should send their shluchim to guard that path and make sure the rabbim don't pass by there. Just like Beis Din would collect from the assets of the Lova, if the Lova is not in town, Beis Din should make sure that that path is collected from the rabbim, so to speak. So the Nesivus answers that this was dafka takana that was done by a halva'a, kedesh lo yafsid alova, in order to make sure that he doesn't lose. But over here there is no such takana, because he himself causes himself the loss. The guy himself decided that he was going to provide them with a different path. Everything would have been fine had he not tried to switch paths. But because he tried to switch paths, so that's what caused him all the tzaras. It was his own doing. Since it was his own doing, the chachamim are not going to make a special takana that you can go sue people when you don't have a face who to sue. They'll do it by a halva'a. They'll make such a takana, because otherwise people are going to end up losing money because someone will lend money to somebody else, and the person who borrowed the money will skip town, and he'll never be able to be sued. So we don't want people to lose in that way, and therefore, by halva, and they made such takana. But there is no such takana in place over here. So says the Gemara. So basically, again, back to the question. The Gemara's question is, why is it that when I provide the rabbin with a path off to the side of my field, am I not entitled to reclaim the path in my field? So the Gemara is going to give three possible answers. Number one, Amar Rav Zid Mishmei Derava, Gezeira Shamayitin Lehendarech HaKaltzim. We're afraid that you might give them an unfair path. You're going to give them a path that goes on more of a curve and is out of the way, and that's because, even though I didn't, since we're afraid you might do something like that, therefore, meaning we're changing the whole picture over here. It's not that I have a right to give them another path, and it's just a question of practically, how do I get back my path? No, I have no right to go tell them to take a different path. Why do I not have a right to do that? The Chacham made a takana that I don't have the right to do that because they're afraid I might give them a path that's not a good path. That takes them out of the way. Says Rashbam, Gzeir Hashem Yitin Klomer Liolam Avid Inish Dinu L'Nafshei. Normally, when I'm correct, When I have the halacha on my side, I can take the law into my own hands. That's no problem. But over here, the din is that he does not retain the rights to that to the path in the middle of the field. Even if I gave them a more direct path, still it's invalid because the chacham are afraid that I might not give them a direct path. So what if I don't give them a direct path? Why don't they just protest and sue me? There is a face to the owner of the field. Maybe he can't sue the rabbim when he's in the right because there is no face to the rabbim. But the rabbim can bring him to Beis Din, right? He has a face. Let it be the public versus him. So what's the problem? Why are we worried about the rabbim that they're going to be cheated out of a path and they're not going to know where to go and they're going to end up taking a longer route? What do you mean? Let them sue. So says the Rashbam, that's never going to happen. Right, we have a concept that keder deshutfi, whenever there are a lot of people that theoretically could do a job, it never gets done. Because each person is always going to assume that the next person is going to do it. This is a psychological yesod. It's been proven in studies over and over again. There was a famous case in the 1970s, I think it was, where there was a woman who was beaten in broad daylight and was screaming for help for... Well, you remember the name of the woman? I forgot the name.
It was an Italian name, I forgot.
Yeah,
I
so it was screaming. Yeah, she was screaming for like a half hour and
30 people, 50 people,
something like that, were just watching from their apartment windows and no one called the police. Yeah. And they realized that it wasn't because they were mean people. It wasn't just because they were in New York as opposed to out of town. No, the point was that they realized that there were 30 other people watching. So they figured someone else is going to call. Every single one of them figured somebody else is going to call. And they did actual studies to prove this. They had subjects come into a room telling them they're doing some sort of experiment about something else entirely. And just while they were waiting, that someone in the next room scream for help. Whenever there was a large crowd of people around, no one moved. Whenever they were the only person around, they always moved. And that was because if you feel that it really depends on you, so then you're going to go and take care of it. But if you think, there are other people that can take care of it, why should I get involved? So that's the concept. Whenever you have a pot that's owned by partners, so it's not going to be hot, it's not going to be cold, whatever you want it to be, it's not going to be. No one's ever going to take care of it, and nothing's ever going to get done. That's a yesod in psychology. So says the Gemara, that's number one. Maybe we're afraid that you might give them a path that's too curved. It's not a gezeira. We're dafka talking in a case where you gave them a path that's out of the way. If you gave them a path that's out of the way, that's when the nesina is invalid and you don't have the right to reclaim the path in the middle of your field. Look, if you gave them a more direct path off to the side, then gezinta hate, reclaim the path in the middle of your field. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah is talking about where you gave them a path that's off to that's less direct. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says the third teretz. He says there's no such thing as giving a path off to the side that's in a little bit of a different location that's not out of the way. Because even though it might be more direct for some people who happen to live closer to that path, it's more out of the way for other people who happen to live closer to the old path. So there's no such thing as a path that's not out of the way. So essentially, Rashbam points out that Rav Ashi and Rav Zvid are basically saying the same thing. That both Rav Ashi and Rav Zvid, answers number 1 and 3, agree that no matter how you make this path, it's always going to be a problem and you're never going to have the legal right to take back the path in the middle of your field. It's the middle guy, the middle answer of Rav Mesharshia, who has to make an ukimta in the Mishnah where it's dafka that you gave the guy a more out-of-the-way path. But both Rav Ashi and Rav Zvid agree that every path is going to be problematic. Rav Zvid because of a gezeira, Rav Ashi because he says, no, every path taka is considered out of the way. But okay, good. So the nesina was an invalid nesina. I tried to give you a path that was out of the way, and that's no good. I'm not allowed to try to give you that. That's invalid. So why can't I say, okay, so give me back the path that I just tried to give you. It was a mistake. I made a terrible mistake. I wasn't supposed to try to give it to you. I wasn't supposed to try to give that to the rabbim because the rabbim had a more direct path. So give me back the one that I just tried to give you, and you can keep the one you always had. Why do I lose both? So answers the Gemara, Hamani Rabbi Eliezer he. We're assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Why do I lose both? Titania, Rabbi Yudah Amrim Shum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yudah says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim Shabiru Derech Liatzmam, Mashabiru Biru, that whenever the Rabbim are Mevarer, choose a path for themselves, they always have the right to take that path. So, frankly, Gemara, what? Just because the Rabbim decide to walk through my house, that means my house becomes a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? The Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim Gazlanim Nadu. What? So the Rabbim could just be Gazlanim if they want? Some Rav Gidol Amrav, no, Kigon Sha'avdil and Derech Bo'os Hasada. No, the assumption is, if the Rabbim used to have a path through my field, we just don't remember exactly where that path was. So it's lost. It's somewhere in the field. The Rabbim are allowed to choose where they're going to make a path in my field, because they are definitely entitled to a path in my field. It's just a question of where. So since we know they're entitled to a path in my field, they could choose wherever they want. Says Rashbam, what does it have to do with our Mishnah? How does that prove that in our Mishnah, where I tried to move them away from a path in the middle of the field and instead give them a path on the side, that they have the right to keep both the path on the side as well? So Rashbam says, well, if they lost a path in the field, they're allowed to take whatever they want. So Kal v'chomer, when I gave them a path, they're allowed to keep it, and I can't stop them from taking it. Fractosos, what do you mean Kal v'chomer? When they lost the path, they're for sure entitled to how many paths? To one path. Good? So they go and they take one path. And that's fine. That's all Rabbi Eliezer is saying. In our Mishnah, we're saying a much greater chiddush. They had one path in my field. I went and tried to give them tried to kick them out of that path and instead give them a second path. Is it logical to assume that Rabbi Eliezer would automatically hold that they're now entitled to two paths? They didn't own two paths. They owned one. So the Tosfos rejects the Rashbam's reading of our Gemara just because he says it doesn't make any sense. How can you make that logical leap that just because Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that when Rabbim lost a path in my field, that they're allowed to reclaim a path anywhere in my field, that Hu Adin, when they owned the path in the middle of the field and I tried to push them off to the side, that they're allowed to take two, the one in the middle and the one off to the side. So Tosfos doesn't like it. He doesn't like the Rashbam's approach. He says, if you look in the skinny lines, about 10 lines down, Umash appears from Masnisa and have you kol shekain a nira. The Masnisa yeshem manav shoch derech shelo kedin. Because in our Mishnah, they're getting one path that they don't deserve. But by a case where they lost a path, they're entitled to a path. Teda. He says, I'll prove to you that the two cases are not comparable. In the case of Rabbi Eliezer, where they lost the path, the Gemara's kasha is going to be, of course if they lost the path, they're entitled to get it back. They're entitled to take a path back. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer's shita seems to be so obvious. And ule'el parach ha-masnisin v'leim l'shkulu didchu v'havu didi. But when we look at our Mishnah, we ask the exact opposite. We say not that it's so obvious, but that it doesn't make any sense. Why should the Rabbim be entitled to two paths? Why can't I tell them, okay, take the path you always had, and I'm going to take back the path that I just tried to give you? So from the stomach of the Gemara, assuming that Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is so obvious, and that our Mishnah is so incorrect, it shows you that the two are not the same, that you can't really compare the two cases. So says Tosfos, he has to say a different pshat. V'nir l'ri d'mei karim masik d'masnis in Rabbi Eliezer, ulu b'sof ki mishani kisha avda lo asi masnis in Rabbi Eliezer. We're backing off now and saying that the Mishnah is in fact not going like Rabbi Eliezer. Once we say that Rabbi Eliezer only speaks about a case where there was avda lehem derech, that Rabbi Eliezer only allows the rabbim to take a path in my field when they initially owned one and they lost it, so then it has nothing to do with our Mishnah. We're backing off on that original pshat, that it has anything to do with our Mishnah. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Ihachi, if Rabbi Eliezer only speaks about a case where they lost a path in my field, and then they're allowed to go and reclaim it, so as Tosfos just alluded to, the Gemara is going to ask, Amay Amarav Barav Huna, Amarav, Eina Lach Rabbi Eliezer. Why would you say not like Rabbi Eliezer? Meaning, if Rabbi Eliezer is so logical. The Rabbim lost a path in my field. We don't know where it is, so they're allowed to take a new one. That's very logical. Why would anyone not paskin like Rabbi Eliezer then? So says Gemara, yeah, manda masniha, lo masniha. Whoever thinks that Rabbi Eliezer's din was limited to a case where they previously owned a path in my field and lost it, would have to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. You're only going to say not like Rabbi Eliezer If you think that Rabbi Eliezer holds, that's stam. The Rabbim sees a path in my field, they're allowed to go ahead and use it. They're allowed. The Rabbim wants to take a path in my field and they choose to use it, I can't do anything to stop them. That's the only case where you can say that Allah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. But if you're going to make an ukimta that Rabbi Eliezer never said that, that Rabbi Eliezer holds, that Rabbi Eliezer in fact holds that that they only have the right to do that if they originally owned a path in my field, then in Khanami you gotta pass on like Rabbi Eliezer. Says Gemara, Vayit v'tayim, Mayim Shem Dov Yudodom Rav Yudom Meitzer Shechzik Bo Rabim, also l'kalkalo, if you have a path that the Rabbim have been muchzik in, you can't destroy it. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim Maikonulei. So frankly, Gemara, wait a second, what kinyan did the Rabbim make? I mean, Tosfos points out, we're bothered by the word Biruru. Biruru sounds like they just, they without doing anything, they just chose a path. Where's the kinyan in choosing? So answers the Gemara, Bihilucha, just by walking. Walking itself is a kinyan. So says the Gemara, Titania, Halach ba la'orcha, if they go on la'orcha la'rachba, kana makom ilucha, divrei blazer. Anyone who walks on the length and width of the field, you're kona wherever you walk on. The Chamram, ain't hiluch mo klumachi yachzik. The Chamram say, no, no. Walking doesn't help. You need to do an actual form of chazaka. Amar Ravel Azar, my tamid de Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Lazar the Amora asks, what's the svara for Rabbi Eliezer that walking is a good enough kinyan? Dechsev kumus halich baris la'orcha, ularachba kilucha etnena. God says to Avram Avinu, walk in the land li'orcha l'rachba, because I am giving it to you. So you see that walking is a kinyan. So Avrabanan, the Rabbanan will respond, no, hasam mishum chavivusa d'Avram hu d'kamar le'achi, k'dei she'e noach l'chbal shlufnei banav. That was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing love to Avram Avinu to make it easier for his children to yarsh in the land. How in what way does it make it easier for his children to yarsh in the land? So the Ritva is a wild idea. The Ritva says that according to the Chum, the Kinyan works not through walking necessarily, but the dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the kinyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying it to Avram Avinu makes the kinyan. Why? Because amirasa l'gvoa k'misirasa l'hedyot. That normally by you need a kinyan in order to give something to a hedyot. But giving to gvoa, giving to the Beis HaMikdash, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you need is amira. Amira is considered a valid form of kinyan to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Problem with the Ritva is, over here we're not talking about giving something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving something to Avram Avinu. So the Ritva must understand that it's a Kal V'chomer. If Amira works as a kinyan, when a human being does the Amira in order to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own Amira is that much more powerful. And the Amira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is considered obviously much more powerful, should for sure affect the kinyan to a human being. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's makna the land to Avram Avinu. And also, the Ritva points out, it says, Vayit Sham Ahlo, that Avram Avinu didn't just walk, he was Machzik Bi Yeshiva. He went and he pitched his tent there. And that was a Chazakah, so he was calling everything with a Chazakah. The Rashbam, however, says a little bit different. The Rashbam, on the first very wide line, Kedei She'en Noach, Davalu K'yarshin V'lo K'gazlanin, V'lo Yerushus L'satan L'katrig, V'lo Piskon Peh L'bal Midas Hadin. That they should be like Yarshim, not like Gazlanim, and therefore the Midas Hadin won't have anything they won't have anything to say about it. What's that talking about? So the Chida in Pesach Einayim quotes in the name of the Divrei Emes that you see a raya from here to what the Ramban writes. The Ramban writes that there are two types of nevuah. One type of nevuah is a nevuah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gives a nevuah that something's going to happen. Then there's another type of nevuah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Navi act something out. He has him do a physical demonstration of what's of what the nevuah actually is, like with Yecheskel, with doing signs of Avelos, right? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually has the Navi do a physical demonstration. So he says, whenever the Navi has to do a simon l'nevuaso, where he's makabel the nevuah with a simon, the nevuah is going to be miskayim even if Klal Yisrael sins. It's a much more powerful nevuah. The nevuah is going to be miskayim even if Klal Yisrael sins. So that's the point Rashbam is making, says the Chida. Rashbam is saying Avram Avinu has to walk the land, the length, the width of the land. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him this nevuah that his children are going to have this land with a simen. And that's what Rashbam is saying. And the Baal Midas Hadin is going to have no say in the matter. Because of the Midas Hadin, what's it going to say already? No, they sinned, they don't deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, it doesn't matter how much they sinned. The bottom line is, I gave this nevuah to Avram Avinu with a simen. If the nevuah comes with a simen, the nevuah has to come true. The nevuah is not something that's revocable. Says the Gemara, Vayter Amar Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, Modim Chal Mer Rabbi Lazar B'Shvil Shal Kramim, Hol V'Nasa Lihiluch Nikna B'Hiluch. The Chamar Modit Rabbi Lazar in a path of a vineyard that since it's made to be walked on, you can acquire it through walking alone. That a path of a vineyard, that's all you do in a path of a vineyard is walk, and therefore that's the kinyan on a path of a vineyard. Says Tosos, Bishvil Shal Kramim, near the Dafka Bishvil Shal Kramim, Sheino Asu Klal El Lihiluch. He says, Dafka by a vineyard where all you do, literally all you would ever do is walk on it. Aval Shar Derech, but any other path through a field, let's say, sometimes you'll do something else besides for just walking there, and therefore walking would not be a valid kinyan by any other derech. It's dafka in the shvil shel kramim that we're going to say that walking suffices. The Ramban writes that shvil shel sados is since it's a little bit wider, you can put fruits out there and do all sorts of other things. That's why it's not nikna behiluch. However, Rabbeinu Yonah writes that it's lav dafka shvil shel kramim against Tosfos. So it's not only shvil shel kramim. Any derech is nikna behiluch. The Chachamim who argue and Rabbi Lazar say that's dafka that you're not kona the field al yidei halicha. But the point is that the Rabbeinu Yonah says not only shvil shel kramim, any derech can be acquired through hiluch. Now the Shittim Kvetza says, no, you could be mechalik between a shvil shel kramim and a shvil shel sados. Because a shvil shel kramim, maybe when you do hiluch in a shvil shel kramim, you now own that shvil for anything. Even though it's not, because it's not meant to be used for anything but hiluch, hiluch is a valid kinyan, and therefore if you want to do any, once it's a valid kinyan, if you want to do anything else in that shvil, kesantahed, it's yours now. Whereas the shvil shel sados, you're also kona behiluch, but only legabe hiluch. You're kona when you walk in it, but only to have the rights to be able to walk in it. Okay, different shittos and rishonim. Says Gemara Vayter, Kiyosel kamei Rav Yitzchak bar Ami amalu avalei ki hechi didari tunu d'shabishta v'hadar. When I acquire a path through your vineyard, how large, how wide does the path have to be? Wide enough that I can carry a bundle on my shoulder and turn around, and I'm not going to be knocking anything down on your property, that you have to give me enough space to do that. V'lo armanel d'mesaymen mechitzta. V'lo mesaymen mechitzasa ki ech d'shakel kara manach kara. And that's only when there is mechitzos that define the boundaries of the path. But when there are no walls off to the sides of the path, so then I only have the amount of space that I need to put one foot in front of the other, to be able to walk in normal fashion. I don't have any wider of a space. Why? Why should that be the case? So the Rashbam explains. When there are mechitzos, so I'm not going to be able to carry a bundle because there are walls. I'm going to keep on banging into the walls. So then you're going to need to move the mechitzos aside far enough that I should be able to carry a bundle. But when there are no mechitzos anyway, whatever I'm carrying up on my shoulder shouldn't get in the way of whatever's growing off to the side, because whatever's growing off to the side is lower than my shoulder. So carrying my bundle, all I really need, the only space I really need, is the path where my feet are going, and my bundle will go in the airspace above, but that's fine. That's not bothering anybody. And that's the chiluk the Rashbam says. However, the Rashbam says, some have a gears to the opposite. He says, v'istigaris v'lo armanel delo mesaymi mechitzos. That it's dafka when there are no mechitzos, that's where you say, I have as much as I need to carry the bundle. But when there are mechitzos, the assumption is, I'm only selling you the place between those mechitzos and no more than that. But the Rosh Pram says, that's crazy. That can't be the pshat, because if I sold you a shvil, how could I not give you the space that you need? Just because there are mechitzos that are blocking the path, how can I not move those mechitzos and give you what the space that you're actually going to need? So that therefore the Rosh Pram rejected. Tulsa says, no, the Rosh Pram misunderstood what we mean by mechitzos. When we say mechitzos over here, we mean very low mechitzos, just off the ground, a couple of tefachim off the ground. They're not getting in the way of anyone's bundles, and that's why that's how we're mekayim the other girsa. When there are mechitzos, we assume you're only given the space between the mechitzos, even if that's just enough space for your feet to walk through. How am I going to carry my bundle? No problem, my bundle's up by my shoulder. The mechitzos are way low down next to the ground. When there are no mechitzos, then we assume I'm given a wider path, because there's no border to show that it's that I'm not given the wider path. So when there are no mechitzos, then we make the assumption that I'm given an even wider path. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Tana Achirim Am Kadesh Yavur Chamor B'Masa'o. Achirim say, I'm sorry, Derech HaYachad Al Ramos. Said the Derech HaYachad is 4 amos. So Achirim say, how much space do you have? Enough space that a donkey can come by with its bundle on its back. Amrav Huna halacha ka'achirim. We pass like achirim. The Tana Dayana Gola shnei gamadim u'mechsa. The Dayana Gola say that we're entitled to two gamadim and a half. What are gamadim? Says Rashbam, amos ketanos mipirko ad etzba'osav. Small amos. I think pirko means from the elbow until etzba'osav, until your fingers. A normal amma is from the elbow all the way until the top of your middle finger. I guess a smaller amma is until where the fingers start. Right? So it's a miniature amma. And then the Rashbam says, Yesham amos shlemos. Some say gamadin mean full amos. The crux of gmad archa. The pasuk says that, the pasuk talks about the sword that Ehud made for himself, right, when he went to kill Eglon. So he made a tiny, he was the left-handed warrior, Ehud. It's one of the odd stories in Navi, where he got into the king with a weapon, I guess, considering what happened in the White House last week, right. It's not so hard to get in sometimes. But he got into the king with a weapon because he was a lefty, and they didn't bother checking his right side. They only checked his left side. But the weapon that he made, it says that he took he made a cherev v'lash shnei pios gomed arka. It was a gomed in length. So Rashbam says that makes it sound like it's a full amma. I don't know why that makes it sound like it's a full amma. It was a gomed in length. I always thought it was a tiny knife that he was able to sneak in. Maybe it's because Eglon was extremely fat. In order to kill him, he needed a larger knife. I'm not sure what the raya is. And it said gomed orcha. Anyway, but the Rashbam assumes that it's either a little smaller than regular amma or regular amma. But that's how much space he gets. Shnei gamadim mechza. V'am Rav Huna alach k'dayane gola. And Rav Huna says, yeah, we pass him like the dayane gola. V'am Rav Huna alach k'achirim. Didn't Rav Huna tell us we pass him like achirim? Idi v'idi chachiruhu. Yeah, they both really mean the same shir. It's just two different ways of saying it. Derech harabim sheish esrei amma. The rabbin gets 16 ammas. Rabban and Derech Hayachad Arba Amos Derech Meir Liir Shmona Amos. We have a bracelet that says the Derech Hayachad is 4 Amos. A path going from one city to another is 8 Amos. Derech Harabim 16 Amos. Derech Harabim is 16 Amos. Derech Harim Miklat 32 Amos. The Derech of near to go to near Miklat is 32 Amos. In general, by going to near Miklat, we always have as clear a path as possible. The Gemara says you have to make signs that point in the direction of near Miklat because you don't want the guy who's running away from the Golal Adam to they have to stop to ask for directions. It's going to risk his life if he has to stop and ask for directions. Rav Rivlin, the Mashgiach in Karen B'Yavne, used to say, it's not only that it's going to risk his life, it's that if he stops and asks for directions, he's going to say, excuse me, sir, can you tell me how to get to the Ir Miklat? And whoever he stops is going to say, why are you going to Ir Miklat? He's going to say, well, I killed somebody by accident. And the person will say, oh, he looks like such a nice guy, such a nice, reasonable guy, and he killed somebody by accident. In that moment, murder won't be quite as serious in his mind as it was before. Because he's going to see, he's not a monster, he's just a regular person. And in order to protect the innocence of the public and the our vision of what a murderer is, so therefore the Torah doesn't want, that's what Rivlin used to say, therefore the Torah doesn't want that he should have to stop to ask for directions. But Pasha Pshat, we just want to save his life, that he should be able to get there. So we have these very wide roads. Amar Rav Huna Maikra, where do we see in the pasuk that he has such a wide road? D'chsiv, tachin lecha haderech. Derech, haderech. Since it says haderech, could have just said derech, so we see that it's twice the size of a regular derech harabim. Derech hamelech en lashir, shamelech paritz gedel asal derech vein machin biado. The king has as much space as he needs. He can knock down whatever he wants, it's in his way, and no one could stop him. Derech hakevre en lashir mishum yakra de shichva. That's a special takana for the sake of the honor of the deceased. Hamam diyani tzipari amru bas dalid kavin. Tan rabbanan. Hamoch kivro, derech kivro, mako mamado ubeis hespedo, ban b'nei mishpacha v'kovernoso al karcho mishum pegam mishpacha. If a person sells the cave where they would have the kever, right? Where they would make a kever for that family, the makom mamid where they would sit near the beis hakvaros. So you would have to allow the family back into that property to go and bury their dead because of pegam mishpacha. It's pegam mishpacha if the krovim don't have a place to be buried near their family. So the Rabbanan says that the Rabbanan say that you have to you always have to give them the right to come back in. Tan Rabbanan, ein pachsim mishivim ma'amados u'moshavos l'meis. We never do less than 7 ma'amados u'moshavos on the way back from burying the dead. On the way, we'll see, by burying the dead. Keneged hevel avalim amar koelos hevel avalim hakol hevel. Keneged the times the word hevel appears in the pasuk. Havalim counts as 2. Amrle Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav le Rav Ashi hechi avdi. What do they do? Amrle k'detanya. Amr Rabbi Yehuda b'Yehuda b'Rishona lo yipochsin mishivim ma'amados u'moshavos l'meis. They used to be they would never do less than 7 ma'amados u'moshavos for a dead body. Kigon imdu yukar ma'amudu shavu yukar m'shavu. That's what they would say. Get up, sit down. If that's all they would do, just tell them to get up, sit down, stop, go. So then you could even do that on Shabbos if you had a situation where you buried someone 2 minutes before Shabbos and you were walking back from the Kavura, and it was already Shabbos, you'd be allowed to do that as well. So you see that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. After the Rami Bar Papa happened to Sivile the Rav Avia, Rami Bar Papa's sister was married to Rav Avia, Shchiva, and she died. Avlo Maimonu Moshev, so Rav Avia did a Maimonu Moshev, he did this whole procession where they paused along the way 7 times. Amar Rav Yosef Tabitarti, Rav Yosef says he made 2 mistakes. Number one, Tashein Osanela Bekrovim, Uavarafil Berchokim. Number one is that only the Krovim are supposed to participate in the Maimonu Moshev, and he did it even with Rechokim. Number two, Vitashein Osanela Biom Rishon, Uavar Biom Sheni. You're only supposed to do this on the actual day of death. He did this on the next day. And Abaye says, no, that's not it. He made another mistake. Abaye Amar Ba Namita. Shein Osan Rael Beis HaKvaros V'Oso Be'ir. You're only supposed to do this in the Beis HaKvaros. He did it in the city. Rava Amar Ba Namita. A 4th mistake. Shein Osan Rael B'Makm Shnagu V'Hasam Lo Nag. You're only supposed to do this in a place where that's the Minhag. He did it in a place even where it wasn't the Minhag. Wait a second, you said before that you're even allowed to do this on Shabbos, but if we're talking about a case where we said that that it's in the Beis HaKvaros, that it's only done in the Beis HaKvaros, and only done on the day of burial, right there at the burial, well, how does that ever happen on Shabbos? You never bury people on Shabbos. It's also to bury people on Shabbos. Yantif is a different story, right? The Gemara talks about burying on Yantif, Yom Tov Sheni, Ali Dei Yisrael, Yom Tov Rishon, Ali Dei Akum. But Shabbos, you're never allowed to bury on Shabbos. So how do you have such a hechi timtza that you're burying somebody on Shabbos and you do the Maimon of Moshev on Shabbos itself? Answers the Gemara, no, the iras mukhla beis hakvaros, dam tiyu ben hashmashos. No, the situation is we buried someone in ben hashmashos right before Shabbos. And then, by the time it came time to do the Ma'amud Moshev, when we're walking away from the Kavura, it was already Shabbos. And that's still considered the Yom Rishon. Shouldn't it be considered the Yom Sheni because it's the following day halachically? So Rashbam points out that no, Aninus Lailus Daraisa means that Aninus, the night after the person died, is Daraisa. There's a big machlokes Rishonim, whether Avelus is Daraisa Drabanan. Many Rishonim associate Aninus with Avelus. That Avelus Yom Rishon is derived from the halach of Aninus Yom Rishon. So halachos of Avelus on that first night after the Misa are Daraisa, even though halachically, generally, the first night is already the next calendar day. By Avelus, it's not so. We have some exceptions, right? By Mikdash, we say it's Halayla Holech Achara Yom, that the night follows the day. By Avelus also, we have such a halacha, at least on that first day, we assume Halayla Holech Achara Yom, it's still considered Yom Rishon of Avelus, and the Yom Kavura on the night following the Misa. So that's a special din, Dafka by Aninus. Okay, we'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow.